Hello, my name is Nick Whitecotton.
And I'm Aiden Nasher.
And we're students at Franklin College helping tell the stories of real-life entrepreneurs in our communities. Today we're joined by
Christina Fletcher, owner of Possibilities in Franklin.
And Whitney Ackerson, owner of Norma Jean's Pastries in Franklin.
Thank you guys for coming today. So just to start off, where did you guys grow up and like what was kind of your early life like and where did you go to school and stuff like that?
I grew up in Southport, Indiana, so it's about 30 minutes away. Early in life, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and she was very artistic and very much a homemaker. So she taught me how to bake, paint, everything you could think of. And so that was really my inspiration for my shop is my grandmother. She was also a philanthropist. Oh, my gosh, I can't talk. Sorry, I'm super nervous.
You're philanthropist. Totally fine.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying. So she would do a lot of stuff for the White Cross, and she would give back. She was also a Mason in the women's section. And, so she was my inspiration for my shop, to give back and to help others in my community.
Jack of all trades.
Yes, trying.
This is Christina. I grew up, I lived in Indianapolis until I was like 10, and my parents owned some businesses up here, and then my stepdad got a job down in Henderson, Kentucky, so I lived down there from like age 11 to 21 before I came back to Indy.
So. Nice, awesome.
Yeah. So what first inspired you to become an entrepreneur, and was there like a particular moment or anything that inspired you to make your business?
So for me, for Norma Jean's is, I just spaced the question. Can you ask me again? I don't know why I just spaced.
Why do we do the crazy things that we do?
So I know you already talked about your grandma was a big inspiration for you, but was there like a specific moment where you knew this is something you wanted to do or like something that ignited the passion?
So I came back from I lived in Colorado for about 4 years, and then I came back home, and I was just kind of like, what am I going to do with my life type of thing? And so I talked to my brother, my brother-in-law, and he was just like, well, Whitney, you're always good with pastries and stuff like that, baking and painting, being creative. And he was like, why don't we look into some food schools? And so I started looking into culinary schools, and then I went to the Chef's Academy and graduated, and then I started working at the Cake Bake Shop in Broad Ripple, and I worked there for about 4.5 years, and then I was just kind of like, I could be doing this out on my own and actually get the recognition that I want from it instead of just be behind the scenes. So that was kind of what really made me want to just start my own stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, my stepdad had several businesses when I was growing up. I think I told you guys when you came to talk to us about this, like, he started off young. Like, we go to this wholesale place where you buy all, like, the little stupid plastic toys and the fold-up sunglasses, like, flea market stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'd sell that at the Burgersville Flea Market when it was still open. You guys are too young to remember that. And, like, pull our red wagon around and sell it in the neighborhood. So, like, I've always, like, had the entrepreneurial, like, drive. And to me, it was normal. Like, we owned a bar. They owned a carpet place. I was in sales for, a couple decades, and I just came to the general consensus that every manager I had was going to not make me happy. Good peon. I also have, like, a very creative family on both sides, so, like, I had found myself, like, painting furniture that I picked up on heavy trash pickup day and flipping it, like, as therapy so I didn't murder people at work. And then someone's like, well, why don't you sell that and make money? And my husband's like, why don't you sell it and get it out of my garage? So I started looking at options, and there wasn't anywhere for me to have a booth in town, which is common for people to do, and it's common to not have space. And I was over actually at Vintage Whimsy, and she'd had openings, and then she didn't when I was in there. And the space next to her had been empty. It looked like crap. If you go to my Facebook page, I have like a before picture. There were big donuts, like dirt donuts inside the window. You couldn't clean them off. The outside looked like it had been abandoned forever. It had gotten like Passover forever. The owners that had it wouldn't do any of the facade updates. So I was like, so what's the story with next door? And she's like, well, the lady that owns the shop on the other side is getting ready to put a for lease sign in it. You could talk to her. So a week later, I had a signed lease for a shop. Because I just do stuff and then figure out how to make it work. So far, it seems to be working okay.
Seems to be.
But we've moved to a bigger location where you guys met us about a year ago.
Yeah, and did you have Possibilities is the name of the shop, right?
Yeah.
And then did you have that idea already when you bought the store, or did you say you just bought it and like, I'm going to make a store out of this?
I rented the spot, so I didn't actually buy it.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
But, yeah, I just came up with it.
That's really cool. Like,
I'm very much like, anything's possible, like, everything's figure-outable, like, there's a way to make it happen. Just like, when Whitney decided she was leaving her place, I was like, 2 days, I got it figured out.
Yep, exactly. She had everything, like all the hookups for me, everything. It was amazing.
I'm a great idea person. Oh, implementing, yeah. There's not enough of me. So.
Yeah. In implementing those ideas, was there any sort of like challenges that you guys had to overcome, especially early on in the starting business process?
Oh, money.
That's a big one for
everyone. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, to start up. So for me to like open up my own shop. So I started at the farmer's market and I did that for about 2 years-ish. And I built up enough income or revenue to buy all my stuff from the lady. So there was someone in my shop before me and it was a bakery. So I bought all of her equipment and stuff with that with my farmer's market money. And that was like $11,000 just to do that. The oven was the most expensive thing. So, yeah.
You were way more prepared than I was.
I'm lucky that I'm married to a smart man. Because I am not with money. I am terrible.
I bootstrap everything. So, like, when we got it, it had the old space had, like, a wall halfway back. That was painted like H&R Block green. I guess they talked about putting a CBD shop in there. We tore down the wall. I put all new flooring in it. Like, we did everything. Like, I'm just like, I don't have the money to pay somebody.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. Just do it all. And just move from there. And I'm just resourceful. I think that's the thing. Like, I have a brother that, I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this, but I have a brother that thinks that, like, all you have to do is go get an EIN number, and then you're, like, flooded with grant money, and you can get all these loans. I'm like, bro, show me how that works. You just got to watch YouTube. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. It's really hard to get funding. It's hard to get money. Like, I've been lucky that I've gotten some grants and stuff like that, but being resourceful, I think, is entrepreneur 101.
Mm-hmm.
And communication. Like, you're very well linked in the community.
And that took a lot of work, though.
Oh, yeah, because when I, like, started my business and stuff and I met Christina, like, she actually showed me the meetings I should be going to and people I need to connect with and stuff. So she's, like, helped me out, like, a great deal, like, figuring out, like, what the hell to do.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Think I was pushy.
No, I need that.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've mentioned, Whitney, your husband and then Christina's support systems for you. But Christina, did you have any sort of help? I know you mentioned your brother who tried to help, but who's been your biggest supporter or mentor throughout this entire process?
My husband has helped. He's not a great manual labor guy, but he does his best. And then my daughter, we started homeschooling her. We took her out of school after fifth grade and started homeschooling her. She'd been homeschooled, I think a year then. And so she's actually helped me at the shop. So it'll be 5 years old in June. So she's been there pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
She could run my business. She has an education that, like, most adults come in and stare at our checkout system and blank. It's not that hard, dude. But so, yeah, she's probably been my biggest help. And then just, like, making connections in the community. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put yourself out there because they're not going to walk into your door. I mean, they might once, but they're not going to come in twice and be like, hey, I have this for you. This mm-hmm. is a good resource. Put yourself out there and make the connections, and then people start showing up for you. I mean, that's my biggest lesson. Like, I really believe in community over competition. And when I opened up 5 years ago, I can't really tell you that was the environment here. Mm-hmm. So I've worked really hard at making connections with people to do that. And that's, I think, made the biggest difference in my business and how I operate as a business owner in Franklin.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
So, going off of that, were there ever any, like, gaps where you couldn't answer a question, couldn't get a resource to answer a question?
I just go to the internet and I bang my head against the wall until I figure it out. Fair enough. I'm pretty persistent. I think that, like, as an entrepreneur, you have to be, because there's certainly times where, like, I'm like, I'm just going to drop a match and go home.
Yeah.
Like, why do I do this? Like, mm-hmm. I left a sales job where it was like 50 grand a year plus commission, company car and a credit card. I got mm-hmm. vacations and weekends. Like, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. But I also can do everything the way that I want to do it, and I can reinvent it when I want to. Her and I both have ADD. My kid has ADD. So, like, you get a whim to try something, and then you just see how it goes. And, like, a lot of our stuff in our shop is local made or handmade. So, mm-hmm. like, I can do crafty, creative things and do it and sell it. And if I want to keep doing it, I can. And if not, I just move on to something else. We're like, you can't do that with a regular job.
No.
Stuck on that salary, and you got to mm-hmm. do what you got to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. You mentioned there was times where you feel like you just wanted to give up and you didn't know what you were doing. Was there any, like, defining moments that you were really close to giving up? And if so, like, what kind of changed that and kept you going?
Oh, that one. Yes, I've had multiple moments mm-hmm. because the location that I was at before, like, it started out wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great. Had great foot traffic. And then, like, the second year died down. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when I was coming up on my third year, it was just, like, dead. It was so bizarre because I was still having, like, new people come in, but the foot traffic wasn't there. So, like, when people will say location, 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 that is 100% true, because mm-hmm. it was like, yes, I'm right next to the Art Craft, but the people that are going to the Art Craft during the day are mainly older people. So that wasn't my group of people that I wanted, like, in the shop. Well, I'm open to anyone being in the shop, you know, not like that. Yeah, but I'm just saying they're not interested in, like, macarons, French macarons. So it's just kind of, like,
they're
difficult.
They're not going to come there. In and buy six
of them. Yeah, exactly. They're going to look at it and be like, I thought these were macaroons. And it's like, no, dude, it's a French cookie. Like, it's not what you think it is. So, but yeah, I would say, like, before I moved over to Christina's, I was really considering, like, mm-hmm. shutting it down, because it was just like, I felt like I've done enough, and it mm-hmm. was becoming too stressful and too hard to keep it open. Mm-hmm. And so when Christina got on there, like, I'm making so much more over in her shop than I ever did over at my location. So that was, like, my biggest hiccup, was just like, man, like, I don't know if I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, having, like, such an awesome friend just be mm-hmm. like, you can do this. You can do this. Just let's try it out in my shop and see how it goes. And it's been going phenomenally. So
how did that come about, you two, like, her moving to your shop? Did you guys know each other before that, or?
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
I think we've known each other probably 2 years.
About 2 years.
Did that start from you opening your shop? And, like you said, you tried to make connections with the community.
I think so.
Yeah.
She'd been open before, like, yeah. I went over. But, like, when you're first starting out, mm-hmm. actually, even now, it's hard for me to get